It's time for the Al Golden Show, brought to you by Bennett Auto Supply. Our prices bring you in, but our people bring you back. And the Orange Bowl. Don't miss this year's Orange Bowl game on December 31st. See the ACC champion take on a powerhouse opponent from the SEC, Big Ten, or Notre Dame. Get your tickets now at orangebowl.org. Now, here's the University of Miami's head football coach, Al Golden, on the Joe Rowe Show with Curtis Stevenson.
And joining us out on the road from recruiting, taking a break to join us this morning, is head football coach of the Miami Hurricanes, Al Golden. Coach, how you doing?
Doing good. Just getting out and seeing some young prospects here and getting around and wanted to catch up with you, Joe. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. Long night, but good to be back from New York and everything else. Hey, Coach, a lot to get to as we wrap this up. First of all, what'd you think overall of the year? Well, the 6-6 record that's got everybody fired. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, come on. I feel like everybody else. I'm disappointed. Obviously, we had an opportunity to win, more games. I don't think there's any question about it. So I'm disappointed with it. I think, obviously, there's a lot of silver linings in there in terms of guys improving and getting better and laying it on the line. But overall, disappointed with the results.
Coach, how do you explain the last two games and the letdown after the great effort against FSU and then lose to Virginia 30-13 and then lose to Pittsburgh 35-23? How do you explain that overall?
Yeah, it's hard to explain, Joe, and it's something that obviously we're really disappointed in because from Florida State in the previous three games and then really the bye weeks that were included in that, we were practicing and playing at a high level. And I thought we played, really well and played with energy and everything despite coming up just short against Florida State. But clearly we didn't perform or execute at the same level the last 2 weeks that we did the previous six. So absolutely disappointing. And I'm not even going to try to explain it. We got to sit down with leadership, guys in different classes and more than anything, make sure that it gets fixed.
You think it's more coaching and not getting guys motivated? Do you think it's scheme? Do you think it's players checking out? Like, we lost this game, so now it doesn't – you've obviously had a chance to think a lot about it.
I think there's no question there's major disappointment, but after the Florida State game, but that's no excuse. And before you start going down the list of things to blame, I mean, it's responsibility of the head coach, to get the team ready and to finish the season. So I take that responsibility. It didn't happen. It's one of the things that we have to communicate and learn from and grow from and do whatever we got to do to make sure it doesn't happen again. If there's a disappointing loss again, we can't have the same results. So it's absolutely my responsibility.
Coach, do you make changes on your – a lot of speculation, a lot of folks talking would like to see you make changes on your staff. Have you considered that?
Well, it's something that I think about all the time, and it's something that I'm always looking to improve the organization. I don't think there's any question about it. What I like to do is get back to work here, get ready for the bowl game. Obviously, it's important that we finish with a win and move forward. I'll evaluate everything at the conclusion of the season. There's no question about it. But there's a lot of areas on our team that made improvement, position groups and units. But at the end of the day, we got to win more games. There's no question about it.
Coach, special teams, the group that you're in charge with, just the coverage wasn't as good. The returns that we've kind of gotten spoiled with, a couple of the big returns, it just didn't happen on your group. What do you do to improve that, Coach?
And I'm looking at every facet of it, Joe. The other day we did not, cover the ball well in the kicking in the kickoffs. Now the punt coverage has been really good all year. The kickoff coverage after Florida State. Obviously, we tried some sky kicks in Florida State. We gained a turnover in Florida State, but we were not getting the ball into the end zone. So we moved the ball on the field and changed, basically our whole alignment on kickoff coverage. And I don't want to go into too much detail with you, but I guess what I'm saying to you is we weren't getting the depth or the hang time that we were going, so we had to change what we were doing. And that didn't work as well against a good returner like Boyd, and really hurt us. It gave a team that wants to control the ball a short field. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is we haven't had the long, just explosive return. And we had multiple last year, and this year we're coming up short there.
There were guys at times. We had a call earlier today, a lot of fans are fired up. But one point that was made, and we're just thinking about it, and obviously you got a lot of time to think about these things, but certain games, receivers had big games like Herb Waters, and then they disappear for two or three games. And another guy, is there a way to get more consistent games and make sure we get targets to everybody to get everybody more involved? Would that be a goal looking ahead, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Joe, I think you know from being a player that we want to be consistent there. And there's no question there's some games where, you know, we have 7-8 guys that are touching the ball, and that's when we're at our best. And all three running backs are rotating in and keeping guys fresh. So I think, you know, it's a valid point. There were some games where we weren't as good, distributing the football, but we would like consistency, you know, from every area. And we were too inconsistent overall in our play. I don't think there's any question about it.
All right, and while I'm on a roll here, halftime adjustments, another one to come out. And are you getting enough? Do you feel your coaching staff's making enough halftime adjustments, whether it's trying to stop the run and, hey, we may have to put another guy on the D-line to stop it if they're doing certain things? Are you getting enough of that as you evaluate things?
Yeah, I think our guys do a great job. As I'm checking in with both before the half, and you start to during the when the other unit's going just before halftime, we're saying, okay, here's what we got to get done, and then we the first thing we do when we go in is meet as staffs, offense and defensive staff separately. Make all the adjustments and then present it to the team. And for instance, on Saturday, the offense came out and took the first drive and scored, making a couple of adjustments. And then the ensuing kickoff, we didn't cover. And now they're starting on the plus territory. So it's easy to say, okay, we didn't make the adjustments we needed to make on defense, but they're starting on, plus territory. And that's just one little tiny example. But, we hadn't been as good in the second half in the last three games. There's no question about it, Joe. But overall, we hadn't played as good in the last two games. And obviously, the Florida State game, that was a second-half team, and we needed to play better than that to win the game.
Do you feel at any point guys just checked out, that you're just like, man, it doesn't matter what, this is not a motivated group? Did you ever sense that coaching those last couple of games?
No, I didn't. Okay. I do think that guys were, and there's a difference. There's a difference between being genuinely, crushed after the Florida State game or disappointed because you gave it everything you had. And, maybe there was some, I don't want to say regret, but maybe there was some, you lamented, oh, man, I wish I had that play back. Or, man, we batted the ball, but it went to them. Man, why did that happen? Or why did the ball get deflected? Those types of things. Perhaps you dwell on a lot, but I don't think anybody checked out. I think there was a sincere disappointment after that game, but I don't think anybody said, "Oh well, that's it." So, when you watch the tape, there's just too many guys fighting. And trying to finish and trying to do it the right way to suggest that.
Coach, there's some reports out there over the last couple of days that James Coley is going to Kentucky to join Mark Stoops. Any truth to this stuff?
Wow. That's absolutely not true at all.
Okay.
Have
you seen it?
No.
I'm not. Okay, because I'm not just hitting you with this. You can look it up on the internet or one of your guys. I didn't just.
Yeah, no, you're hitting me with it. There's no question about it. But, I think I think James is doing a really good job. And as I said to you before, you know, to go in, you know, to our schedule this year with a rookie quarterback, with a guy that's not a redshirt freshman, but a true freshman, it took an enormous effort on the part of James. And we asked Brad to do a lot. And clearly, every week we were getting whatever the defense had, we were getting, because they looked at it like, hey, that's a freshman quarterback over there. We got to do whatever we can to get him off his spot and to get him to move and to hit him and make him uncomfortable. And I think James did a really good job with Brad and gave an enormous effort to get Brad ready to play, at the level we needed him to play given our schedule this year.
Coach, I got to ask you this one. It's always sticky. The Mark D'Onofrio, your relationship, everybody knows you guys have been together forever. Is it hard to evaluate a guy you're really close to when you're looking at performance and are we getting better here and there? And am I getting out of my out of my coordinator?
Look, someone's got an agenda, okay? So someone wants to talk about the relationship. I've known Mark for a long time. But again, there's a relationship there and a trust in terms of the business side. Mm-hmm. And if you look at our defense this year, I feel like we stabilized. You know, I feel like we stabilized, and I feel like we had a lot of guys that improved. If you look at our total defense, I think we went from 90 to 15. And we played a lot of young guys. So we have guys when Denzel and that group leaves, we have guys behind them. And then, of course, we're recruiting in this class as well. So I'm excited about the progress we made there. I mean, again, I think we went up in, a number of, categories, but total defense, we went from 90th to 15th. I'm excited about Darian Owens and Chad Thomas and Anthony Moten and the fact that, you know, we lost three guys and a coach just before the season started and three guys that were potential starters, you know, Jank, Fig, and Quan. And obviously we were able to redshirt Jank and Quan, and we redshirted a bunch of other guys, Earl Moore and Rico Mays and Jelani Hamilton and Demetrius Jackson. That was the first time we've had a chance to redshirt some guys. So those guys, as we get ready for the bowl game, they're going to get more experience and move forward. And I'm excited about the direction we're going on defense. There's no question about it.
Recruiting. What is there one position where you sit down with your staff and go, we got to upgrade this position if we're going to get better?
Yeah, well, the offensive line. So, you know, we had one transfer last January, and then we had an inordinate amount of injuries. You know, Taylor Gabois and Casey McDermott were both starter quality guys. They both go down. Nick Linder has been down the last 2 weeks. Alex Gall has been down for 6 weeks. There's no question that the depth there hurt us, you know, down the stretch. We just didn't have the number of bodies that we needed to. And again, that's a function of, just having cuts. You know, when you're low and then you get injured, it's hard. So in terms of, taking scholarships, that's one of the places that it hurt us at. And I think we got to fortify that. I like, obviously, that Trevor and Danny and Nick and Casey and all those guys will be, you know, healthy and ready to go in the spring and will make us better. But we're going to need a lot of depth there and moving forward. That's one spot. Joe, I think, you know, we're going to sign a full class, which should give you an indication of, you know, where we are from a numbers standpoint. And we're going to have to take four or five more scholarships next year just to try to get back to even by 16. So I think, we'll still be short overall, but we'll feel better about our depth, you know, as we fortify this class.
You know, Coach, for me, Stacy Coley, who I sound like a big dummy here, after that first year, I thought, my God, he is on his way to being special. What is there something that, like, personally happened in his life, or is it just to have that kind of drop off? He was just a different guy in year two, Coach. Well, what happens?
Yeah, well, again, I think it's always difficult to talk about individual kids that maybe are not having the success that they had, or, mm-hmm. or maybe the success. So from Stacy's standpoint, number one, I'm glad that he made some of the plays that he made on Saturday because he needed that. But I still believe in Stacy, and I still believe that Stacy's going to be a really good football player. I think part of it is, you know, the fact that Phillip kind of separated himself from the group, and Phillip clearly was the most productive wide receiver. And you can make a case last year, Joe, that Stacy may have been, you know, other than that,
right.
Hearn
agreed.
May have been,
yeah.
You know, and Stacy was the more explosive guy. So, again, maybe it's a function of you know, how we evolved offensively with Clive and Phillip this year. But, you know, Stacy has a great attitude. He's a great kid. We just got to keep working with him and continue to improve his touches. And I know he's going to do his part. And I have nothing but, you know, positive, you know, and great things to say about, you know, the direction that he's going to go here in the future.
What's the biggest evaluation? I mean, like you said, you're responsible for the 6-6, and in year four, with everything that's happened, people still looking bottom line at that 6-6. What's the biggest thing you have to do as you evaluate everything, Coach, and where you are?
Well, I mean, I look at everything, Joe. To be honest with you, I look at you know, it could be personnel. I look at schemes. I look at everything that we do in terms of. Here's another thing that, like, I'm just answering your question without thinking, right? So if you're not playing, you know, well, you know, on the road, okay, what do we need to do to, you know, what do we need to change, you know? So those are just some things that, you know, that you look at and you study and the quality control, and maybe, you look at what other programs are doing, or maybe someone that had success in those areas, you study those things, like kickoff return, you know, go ahead and look at what other teams are doing there and see if there's a tweak that you can make. And sometimes it's just something little that triggers it. You know, it doesn't need to be something huge, but, you know, I think clearly, you know, in terms of the depth of the team, you know, we have a lot of guys that have played and that are young guys that have grown up during the season in the fourth quarter there. It's, you know, Chris Herndon, Tyree Brady, you know, Kaya, Trevor Garland, Joe Yerby, all in the game for us on offense. And I don't think anybody anticipated that going into this season. That's just the way it shook out. And all those guys are getting great experience, and they're great kids. And so we just got to keep getting those guys moving forward. And I feel the same way about defense. Darian Owens really stepped up, and you know, Chad Thomas really grew during the year, and Jermaine Grace, and a lot of those guys, Artie Burns. So we just got to keep getting them better. And when we get out of practice with a purpose and fix the things that we need to fix.
Coach, before I let you go, is there anything left for Duke to do after what he's done for 3 years as one of the top backs in the country?
Yeah, I think, you know, my job in this deal is to support Duke and anybody else that's a draft eligible underclassman. My job is to support them unconditionally. You know, my job is not to tell them what to do. My job is to get them the answers and get out of the way. And so, you know, that's the process that we're initiating with him. But to be fair, I mean, that's a very personal question, you know. And I don't think, you know, it's not for me to answer. You know, I think, you know, that's a question between he and his mom. Mm-hmm. We want to support them. We want to be there for them. I think they know we would love for him to come back, but that's not the issue right now. The issue is, okay, what do we need to do, and what does he want to accomplish, you know? So, you know, if some of the things, and again, I don't want to get into personal conversation, if some of the things he wants to, you know, the pros and cons, if you will, if the things on that side of the ledger in terms of coming back are something that that he feels tugging at his heart and he wants to do that, then we'll support that. And clearly if his reasoning and the facts and everything else take him the other way, then we'll support that as well. I just want to make sure that anybody on our team goes through the process, does it the right way, and they know that unconditionally I'm going to be there to support them whatever their decision is, as long as we just do everything the right way. And obviously Duke and his mom are terrific like that.
All right. Hey, Coach, thank you for coming on, spending some extra time with us, and good luck with the recruiting stuff. Thank you.
Okay, Joe, thanks.